It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. The carols are playing, the shops are full, the magic is alive. However, for some people this Christmas will not be a season spent with loved ones. It will be another night spent on the streets trying to get through. Many people end up homeless through no fault of their own. Job loss, debt, domestic violence and mental health problems are some of the many issues which contribute to people becoming homeless. So let me ask you this, how long would you last on the streets this winter? I can't even imagine. Here at the University of Lincoln, we urge you to help us with the Rucksack Project. The Rucksack Project is not a charitable organisation, but a worldwide movement born out of a simple idea to help those sleeping rough during the freezing winter months. The idea is simple. Go to a charity shop or raid your cupboards and fill a rucksack for someone in need. Items needed most this winter include sleeping bags, warm fleeces, hats, gloves, underwear and socks. We would also appreciate empty flasks, spoons and non-perishable food items, such as cup of soups and tinned goods. Even if you cannot donate a complete rucksack, imagine the impact we could make if we all donated one or two of these items. Here at the University of Lincoln, we have a drop-off point in the think tank reception area. Please donate what you can from now until the 18th of December, when the rucksacks will be given out to homeless organisations within the city. More information can be found on the Facebook event, The Rucksack Project Lincoln. Anyone can help with our mission, as the project is not about one person doing a lot, but about all of us doing a little to make a big difference. Thank you.
Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia.
To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
Welcome to Lincoln Inspired, Inspired on Air. Sue Rice, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much, Alex.
I was absolutely outstanding. I was amazed and amazingly sort of impressed by the excitement of Saturday night, because do you know what I went on Saturday night?
I don't.
I went to the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre to see Peter Pan.
Oh!
It was sensational.
Well, you know it's Christmas when the pantos start coming
It's
out.
Not a pantomime, it's a winter show. Oh. It's a winter show, which is absolutely outrageously wonderful, and it is good. And if you have a chance to go and see it, I would say make your way over to the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre there. I've said it.
What's up, darling? I've been keeping my eye on your mirror. Tell your boyfriend, hold your jaw and start. I see you blasting me, that's why I'm asking B. Say, let's party, B, come and dance with me.
If I'm out on my own, then I can look at you, looking at me. If I'm out on a date, then I just shut my eyes, then I can't see. Get away from the bar. Tell your boyfriend, hold your jaw and dance with me.
Quite right too. Sue Rice, congratulations. Well done for actually receiving on behalf of Siren 107.3 FM, in itself Inspired on Air, a recent reward for coordinating work experience, people and things.
Well, I can't take all the credit. We have a whole gang of people behind the scenes that a lot of people don't see. But yes, it's always nice to be...
But you pulled it together.
It's always nice to be recognised for our work, yes.
Very important. And as I say, if you get a chance to actually go and see Peter Pan at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, I will mention it two more times in the course of the programme, honest, go and take that opportunity, because it really is pretty outstanding, as I said. Moving on to the December newsletter for something which is very much at the heart of Lincoln Inspired, and Inspired on Air, and has been ever since we were privileged to actually see these fine folk perform, I think, in the Lincoln Drill Hall a few months ago, actually probably a couple of years ago, but nevertheless, Ray Piper and the Chantry Dance Company, legendary, isn't that right, Ray?
I don't know if I'd say legendary, but that's
very kind. And I think it's only right as well, because it's been a fantastically celebratory 5 stars. You got 5 stars from Everything Theatre. Captivating choreography, impressive performances, excellent, very cleverly choreographed and executed. Literally, the 2015 Chantry Dance Company tour. It was more than just a success. It was a fantastic success.
Oh, bless you. Thank you. Yes, we had great fun on the tour and just loved performing at all the venues that we went to. And we were very lucky to have such wonderful reviews.
As Sue Rice will attest to, we were delighted to feature Sue Menhennick, formerly from the dance troupe Legs & Co, actually back in the day on the programme a few months ago. She may well return in 2016, we'll wait and see. My dream, of course, is to actually get, you know, kind of across the ages here, you know, this sort of sequence in which we have the wonderful sort of mixture of the Chantry Dance Company, going back to the days of some avant-garde sort of dancing and popular music and so on. I think there's definite mileage in that. But Ray, talk to us a bit about this tour. Share with us about what people have missed, and unless they've got access to a time machine, sadly they're just going to have to realise that this exciting and ambitious tour, beautifully integrating Van Gogh, yes, Van Gogh, with Paul Chantry, as he does, and of course how the painter features in society with his relationships, combining genius with compelling power. They could almost be describing yourself, Sir Royce, in terms of the workplace. Genius with compelling power. An excellent programme. What exactly was happening with respect to Van Gogh and this tour?
Well, every year Chantry Dance Company presents a tour. So that's the performance department of the company. So it's our professional dancers. And we normally create between 2 to 3 ballets that we take out on tour. And this year we created 2. And one of them, like you said, was about Vincent van Gogh. So we created this piece that it was quite a different piece, I think, for the audiences to look at. It was quite psychologically driven. And we also used a lot of aspects of Greek theatre in it as well. So there was mask work and chorus work in there. So really, we sort of looked at Van Gogh's life in a thematic way rather than a strictly literal way, because let's be honest, we only had 35 minutes, and that's quite a lot of his life to try and cram into 35 minutes. So we looked at how he related to his art and also how he related to the women in his life, which he believed he fell in love with. So, yeah, it was, like I said, quite a psychologically driven ballet. And we also considered Vincent's state of mind, working through his highs and lows of his artistic progression. And the audiences really seemed to enjoy it, which was great, because we weren't really sure how they would take it, especially when we were using some quite unusual music as well by Schnitka, which is not the most melodic of music, let me put it like that.
Yes, but it's not quite as bad as some Philip Glass material, or indeed some Stockhausen can actually be at times. So, you know, I think it's reasonable.
Yeah, well, they seemed to really take to it, which was great. And, you know, we had a contrasting piece, which was called Eine kleine Nachtmusik, which was set to the Mozart serenade of the same name. So that was obviously a piece of music that a lot of people would have recognised. And a very, very different ballet there, because that was basically that ballet. Well, technically, it wasn't about anything. It was the whole point behind that ballet was we presented 3 people on stage dancing to the music. And the idea was that the audience should be at complete liberty to create their own story from what they saw. So there was no right or wrong way of interpreting what they saw. We were just really trying to encourage people that it was okay with contemporary dance to come to your own conclusions. And, you know, I actually created a little questionnaire which we sent out to audiences to ask them afterwards what their interpretations was. And we had so many different ones. It was fantastic. We had it ranging from people thinking that the piece was about 3 puppies playing together to being a love triangle. Someone else thought it was a representation of Buddha. I mean, we really did have so many different interpretations, and that was really exciting, because it just goes to show that the audience can really take the dance and make it their own, in a sense, and feel that they're an active part of the performance rather than just sitting there and sort of being force-fed stuff. So, you know, we do want to encourage people to unleash their imagination as well.
It's the interaction.
But that was the tour. That was the 2 pieces in the tour.
It's the interaction between the audience, the author, the text. It's just wonderful. It's almost, I mean, you could always echo the same thing about Calendar Girls as written by Gary Barlow, really. I know. It's all right. It's dear to Sue's heart, because she was...
It's actually a very good production.
And I have to say, also in the confession time, Ray, I have actually done something the last few minutes that I have failed to do the last few months, actually. I have finally got around to liking your Facebook page, which I have done.
Oh,
whilst looking at
photographs
by Vaughan Roberts on some of the fabulous sort of activities that have been going through with this.
The photographs look fantastic, they really do. Ray, how long does it take the company to prepare for the touring? How long does it take?
Well, the sort of production process, so in terms of creating the concepts, sorting the music out, designing props, costumes, organising the tour, all of that, so the sort of the boring legwork, that starts basically as soon as we finish one year's tour, we start on the next. So we finished our tour in October, and so far we've just done this last weekend a photo shoot for our next year's tour. Already designed half the costumes and set. We start a year in advance, but then the actual physical rehearsal process in total is about 5 weeks. It varies, 5 to 6 weeks. I mean, if we could afford more, we'd rehearse for longer.
But yes. Yeah, well, yes.
Yeah, in an ideal world.
I mean, the costumes look absolutely fantastic, and the sets and things like that. You know, I can see from Alex is just scribbling through the Facebook page now. There's lots of different photos on. What's your favourite part about touring? Because I know, I guess from going on tour, there's an awful lot of hard work, and there are times when it's not quite so glamorous, shall we say. But what's your favourite bit about touring?
Well, I think I've probably got two favourite bits. I do love going to new cities and just going into a brand new theatre that you've never worked in before, and then the sort of challenge of getting used to the stage in the space of a couple of hours and then, you know, give your performance on that. So I just love seeing new places, so that's really good for me. But I think probably my favourite bit on tour, because like you said, it's so much hard work, and it's absolutely not glamorous in any way, shape or form.
Not at all, no.
But Ray, you always make it glamorous. I've got to disagree on that, you know. You can work through that process.
Oh, no, seriously. If you saw me driving to tour venues at, like, silly o'clock in the
morning.
Yeah,
wee small hours of the morning, yes.
It's because she's a professional. That's the key thing. It must be that. It must be the magic of it. Ray, if you'd be kind enough to stay with us, we want to talk certainly about the excitement that's coming up in the next stage as far as 2016 is concerned. But I think a little touch of Wolfgang Amadeus, if that's okay with you, good self.
Oh, great.
Thank you.
Something timeless about a little night music, which continues to resonate into the 21st century. And if Wolfgang Amadeus is looking down now, he'd say, I wrote it originally for the Chantry Dance Company, of course. See, it would have said in German, obviously, or Austrian, you know, which was his way. Well done. Alles gut zeichnet, Wolfgang. But Sue, it gets even more exciting. I mean, I know, it's CDC beyond.
Yes, because, I really want to know what's going to happen in New Year. Yes.
Ray and Paul, that's Paul and Ray, are going to be choreographing Horrible Histories, Horrible Christmas for the third time.
When is this happening? I must bring my 8-year-old.
It's already open.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Where? When? Where can we find out more details about it?
So, yeah, Horrible Histories, Horrible Christmas. It opened last week and is playing in Cambridge at the Corn Exchange. So if you go on the Birmingham Stage Company website, they have all the details there of all their shows. And so they've got Horrible Histories, Horrible Christmas. They've got some other shows as well, which we didn't work on. But then there's one, Gangster Granny, which we have just choreographed, which is also now open. And excitingly, that's on tour. So it will be coming into the Midlands, which is great.
Yeah, before going into London's West End, and indeed featuring former Chantry associate and apprentice dancer Sorrel de Paula Haneker.
Oh. Yeah, Sorrel's going to be popping up at some of the venues. We're really proud of her that she can do this role. So basically, she gets to dance a role where she has to do a solo dance in... I won't give too much away about the story, but the lead guy in it, who's called Ben, he gets entered into a dance competition by his parents, which he really doesn't want to do. And so one of the other competitors there is a young female dancer in the female category, and she does a disco dance. So that's what Sorrel will be doing before Ben does his dance.
And it's written by David Walliams, of course, Gangster Granny, with, of course, the correct spelling of gangster, as in street, G-A-N-G-S-T-A. Gangster, man, okay.
Yeah. He's gained himself quite a reputation for being a very good children's writer. That he's been quite successful in an awful lot of his work
indeed.
Recently.
Yes, indeed.
I've put it down to him swimming the channel.
The Thames. So,
something I think we should
amazing
suggest.
Amazing, he survived.
Was it the Thames or was it the channel? I think
he did both.
Yes, that's
he
right.
Did both.
I'm suggesting maybe our managing editor at Sire, Andrew David, could possibly consider one of those two options, really. It's bold and ambitious.
It takes a lot of work. As I think he said at the time, you know, I don't think he had any possible recollection about any possible concept of how hard and how difficult that is to not only just to train for, but to actually do until you've done it. And then you go, why did I think of that?
I'm sure Ray would actually put on a special Chantry Dance Company ballet just to actually sort of celebrate the whole piece, which would be wonderful. However, not only that, not only have we actually got the wonderful Gangster Granny, we've also got National Theatre Connections 2016 with, of course, the Stamford Senior Youth Theatre choreographing It Snows.
Yeah, this is a really interesting project that we were really delighted to be invited to be a part of. So Stamford Senior Youth Theatre, who they run at the Stamford Arts Centre, they're part of the National Theatre Connections in 2016. So basically what that is throughout the country, youth groups are putting on different plays, and it's all being overseen by the National Theatre. And some of these plays are going to be picked to go on to sort of a further performance. So at the moment, we're just working with Mary, the director, and all the members of the youth group to actually start staging the production. And it's going to be really exciting. It's a fantastic play as well.
So the critical question, Ray, and I can almost hear Sarah Bullimore screaming either at the radio set, the computer, or however she's listening to Inspired on Air. After all, it is her programme. The fact she's just got back from Paris, it's an irrelevancy. From that perspective, when can we see you in Lincoln and Lincolnshire, Ray?
When can you see us in Lincoln and Lincolnshire? Yeah. That's a really good question. we are...
I know we could cross the border to Nottinghamshire.
I can hear the little hamsters running as we speak.
clearly there is that option of going to Nottingham, actually taking part in an open company class. You've got a daily company class that's open to professional dancers and student dancers in full-time vocational training in January. But are you ever going to cross...
That's in Grantham, actually. You have to come even... Just to Grantham, Nottingham.
Yeah.
Not
so go south, really, from that point of view.
If you've got your ballet tights and ballet t-shirt, you can come and join us. Yeah.
As you know, Ray, I haven't really gone that far down the line. I have a love for ballet, but
it's been a long time since I did ballet. I did used to do it when I was a small child.
I just ease away from that slightly, but nevertheless, I'm not ruling it out as a possible option for 2016. You know, so it's positive.
It's resolution, perhaps, Alex.
Exactly. Clearly available both on Twitter, which is Chantry Dance, Chantry Dance, and of course Facebook, Chantry Dance Company. Lots of other news from that point of view. The newsletter is absolutely outrageously wonderful. Ray, it's been brilliant, touching, basically good stuff. I'm so delighted you were able to join us at this end of year festive special, really, of Inspired.
Oh, thank you. Which has been great. Thank you for having me. It's always good to talk to you.
Well, as I say, although we don't normally throw these questions on the midweek, well, we do the midweek drive, but not on the Inspired now. I think it's pretty much guaranteed, Sue, that Ray Piper will return.
Excellent.
In fact, I also sense maybe a possible location report.
I think so, yes, because certainly the Horrible Histories Christmas thing sound right up my... I've got a little eight-year-old daughter. It sounds right up her street.
Definitely. I'm sure she'd love it.
we shall have to liaise about sort of coming to see you in action, Ray. If you're not coming to Lincoln...
We'll get our junior reporter on the job,
It's all very important. Ray, we salute you. Take care now, and season's greetings.
Merry Christmas.
Wonderful in its own way, snap! Exclamation mark, with the 7-inch edit of Rhythm is a Dancer, sort of thing which I can imagine the English tutors are getting very excited about here at the University of Lincoln, isn't that right, Claire Margerison?
Yeah, definitely. I think at the Christmas party we did have some boogieing.
Do you know, I realised that it was taking place, it was the 8th, I believe, 8th of December, and I sort of had hoped to get there, but in the end didn't.
It was really good fun.
Well,
it was really good fun.
Anything which has Amy, obviously, coordinating has got to be wondrous in its own way. Sadly, I wasn't there, but never mind. We did at least share the excitement that I was saying to Sue earlier and to our listener about Peter Pan, the Lincoln Company, at the fabulous Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. Do you know, Sue actually referred to it as with the P word.
Oh, but it's not, it's a winter show.
It's definitely a winter show.
I learned my lesson.
Definitely a winter show at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. And how did you find it, Claire?
Oh, I absolutely loved it. I really did. I thought that it was just really magical, and it's not like a huge space, but it was really engrossing, and just the quality of the acting and the singing and the dance, it just was amazing.
It was very good. I thoroughly enjoyed 2 years ago seeing The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, but this, I think, had it beaten, including the very dangerous technique of actually acting while cycling around in the round.
Yes.
I was going to say, does Peter fly?
Wendy. Yeah.
I tell you, the only thing that could match Peter Pan for a sheer happiness and joy and delight would be reading one of Jenny Finch's novels.
I think so.
Is that right, Jenny Finch?
Well, Thank you very much.
Welcome to Inspired On Air. Of course, Jenny, it was, I think, 18 months ago you were in Lincoln as part of the Inspired On Air debates that we were actually having in terms of the future of writing and various other bits of piece. Since then, of course, you've just gone from strength to strength.
Well, thank you very much, yes. And I remember that day in Lincoln. It was terrific. I really enjoyed it.
Good. Excellent. Well, hopefully it won't be too long before we come back again, because it's always important to celebrate the wonderment of our little village we have in the East Midlands. It's got a cathedral, it's got a university. In fact, two, actually. Jenny, share with us. We've been looking back over the year so far with, obviously, the Chantry Dance Company and Ray Piper and some of the things that they were actually involved with. This year, from your own point of view, it's been another wonderful writing. In fact, let's just be honest. Jenny's not just writing one novel. She's writing two novels at present.
Oh, my gosh.
Plus a range of other pictures, etc. It's just... Jenny, just share with us what you're doing and how we can look forward to a really exciting time in September 2016.
Oh, fingers crossed, yes. I'm writing the fourth Alex Hastings book. It's about half finished. It's all plotted out, but the actual writing's about halfway through. It should go to the editors round about Easter, and we're aiming to release it in September, so it'll be there for people to buy for next Christmas, we hope.
Nice. Part of the quadrilogy of
quartet.
Do you think, do you not quadrilogy? Do you not think quadrilogy actually
like
works better? You know, sure. Well, I thought we were cutting you off in midstream there for a moment. Anyway, quartet, quadrilogy, either of those two, which we can get be called before, of course, there's a possibility Alex Hastings might be leaving Zamazet.
Yes, it is a distinct possibility, but never fear, if she does, she'll pop up somewhere else very familiar.
Not Lincoln.
Not yet.
No, it's all a matter of time, various other bits and pieces. Sue Royce, thoughts and questions for Jenny, crime writer extraordinaire, although her latest text has got science fiction elements in it in full force.
Oh, do explain, Jenny, because I think the last time I saw you was when I was up at up in Middlesbrough with you, wasn't it? We were talking
sharing
about...
Sharing in the very studio Jessica, that you can see the photograph taken a mere matter of hours ago, well, actually 4 or 5 days ago, where Jenny Finch holding up with pride the fact that she's endorsing John Grisham, and God knows he needs every bit of endorsement he can get.
Exactly.
because when somebody actually gets selected as an author for the Book of the Month, it's quite a profound statement. And Claire, hopefully you've already given thumbs up to joining our Frankenstein special in January.
Yes, hopefully.
Exactly.
That will be great.
That's it. So there with Rob Nichols and indeed another young lady who'll be joining us also in January. She sort of makes her way down to Lincoln from the north after graduating in drama from Manchester. We have Heather Errington.
Oh, very nice.
Lovely, very nice.
Anyway, enough of that stuff. It's your interview after all, Sue. Carry on.
It is. Now, what I was going to ask Jenny was, how is your writing getting on? And this is something I didn't ask you last time. Do you ever get writer's block?
Ah, right. I subscribe to the Doris Lessing view of writer's block. She said doctors don't get doctor's block and say, I can't treat anybody today. Teachers might feel like it, but you can't go into a classroom and go, no, I'm not inspired, I'm sorry, I'll go home. She said, if you're going to be a writer, you have, if you've got any sense, you've got a set time, a set number of hours, you sit and write. And she said, if you can't write anything, you sit there in front of your typewriter, as it was then, and you sit there for your 6 hours, because that's your job.
Mm.
And I've tried that, and actually you get so bored you start doing stuff.
True.
And it starts again.
That's a very good idea. That's... I think I've found that with writing essays sometimes. You don't know where to start, or you're just stuck, and then if you just force yourself to sit and just do it, then you do.
Yeah, you have to stare it out.
Yes.
That's what I tend to do, is I sort of sit there with my laptop, nice and comfortable, and I sit there and I just have to stare out
until
the words come. And it is true. Once you get a hook or an angle on a sentence, it just seems to grow from there. But I wondered, I'm not a professional writer. The only thing I've sort of written is dissertations and essays and in a sort of academic sense, whereas you are writing sort of in a different genre. And as a professional, I was interested on how you did it. But...
Yep. I also found that whereas before, when I used to type a long time ago, you get this big pile of paper next to you, gradually it grows, and you've got this physical visual reminder of exactly what you've done, and you can sit there and flip your thumb up and down the paper. It's very satisfying. And a word count on the computer just doesn't cut it, I have to say. It's not the same. It ticks over so slowly. So what I started to do was to learn to make origami cranes, little paper cranes. And every time I hit my word count in a day, I make a crane and I put it on a garland.
Oh.
And I've now got two multicoloured garlands, nearly as tall as I am, hung up in my room. And they are my book. And I can look at them first thing when I go up and I think, I'm going to have another crane today. There's a photograph of one of the garlands on my blog, on my website.
That's what I was going to ask you, Jenny, because they sound absolutely fantastic. They sound
beautiful.
Yes, really good.
Really so motivating. I love coming down, I have some lunch, and I make a crane, and I put it on the garland. I go, yep, day's work, and it builds into something absolutely lovely.
Lovely. How can people access your blog, Jenny?
It's www.jennyfinch.me.uk.
Lovely. But Alex has just done the wonders of modern technology.
I like to feel like I can occasionally multitask. In fact, there are indeed cranes left in the studio, as she now makes them up, of the Book of the Month scripts. It's very good. Very impressive. It's just wonderful. And we've got NaNoWriMo Almost Over, Keep Going. And there you see at the end.
Oh, there it is.
You see? There it is.
Beautiful.
I've never actually done NaNoWriMo. I've been meaning to do it since I was about 14 years old. But every year something comes in the way as November approaches. I'm like, oh, I can't write. But I definitely think it's something I want to do at some point.
National Novel Writing Month.
That's what I was
just
going
in case
to ask you.
People are thinking, is this some kind of Chris Moyle Nana Windows? No. And it's not Nini Nana Nana Kiss Him Goodbye. It's NaNoWriMo.
50,000 words in a month.
National Novel Writing Month. As you rightly said, 50,000 words in November. Finish your book, have a set target, and the words there that we actually have are motivational. In fact, you know, it's Jenny Finch, not only ace writer, but also motivational speaker as well.
Well, indeed.
Impressed. Jenny, are you able to stick with us for a few moments whilst we take a short musical break and actually come back to you with a few other thoughts and concepts and various other bits and pieces, such as how to look after Tibetan terriers for Christmas?
I would love to.
Here's Ellie Goulding then, the writer. Starts off extraordinarily quietly, and then you sort of think, is she going to go there at all? Is she going to reach the whole thing? It's all right. Have faith. The Goulding mistress will not let you down. Splendid stuff. Got an email from Tessa Snart, who actually apologises for not being on the Inspired Unite. She's in Peterborough at present, but she's going to come all the way back for the Midweek Drive.
Oh.
Thanks, Tessa.
Exactly. Very good. Going to be packed for the Midweek Drive. That's later on, of course, this afternoon, Jenny, between 5 and 7. Should you wish to actually set your computer, sirenonline.co.uk, feel free to join in the fun.
Thank you. I will.
Exactly. So, Claire, you've been having a look at Jenny's blog.
Yes.
Using various other things. We pointed out, of course, that you have been in the very same hospital that actually hosts our sister station. Exactly. So. Having treatment there very early. So you haven't quite been in the north entrances yet, but you're sorting through other bits and pieces. So that's it just shows the world is a very
small
place.
World. It's a very nice hospital.
Oh, yes, it's
I was
lovely.
Very impressed when I went, but thankfully I went as a guest in the studio. I was naturally a customer.
Claire took it seriously to make that journey from Harrogate to Teesside to actually check it out.
We did it over the period of June, probably June to July, we must have gone about 20 times, and it's like it's not that bad a drive. And I think if one thing comes out of it, my mum's got used to driving on like dual carriageway roads now. She didn't tell me to shut up every time we go on the junction now.
Critical for the whole thing. And if you're wondering, Jenny, well, why hasn't Claire emerged so far? It's because we didn't actually know of her until literally she took a science fiction module in level 3.
I've been hiding away.
Hiding your light under a bushel.
Yes.
Life continues. Claire, the floor is yours. What do you wish to put to Jenny?
I guess I saw on your blog you were talking about NaNoWriMo and talking about getting those words done. As someone who has written over the period of my whole life, I write every now and then, but I've never really got anything written down. But a lot of my friends do write. What would be your sort of advice for budding writers, as cliche as that is?
Just write the first draft. Doesn't matter if you write the worst book in the world, write the first draft. Write the story first. And then, everybody says this, but it's true, put it away and wait and think about it. And when you take it out again, then unwrite an awful lot of it and rewrite it. Because what you write in the first draft often is the story and gets close to stream of consciousness. And the difference between self-published, I'm just going to put it out there, it's just a story, and a professional job, whether it's self-published or commercially published, is in the next stages, the editing. You polish it so it's the brightest diamond in the box, and then you put it out in front of people.
Thank you.
Profound and sage advice. And, of course, Jenny, Claire wishes to go into the publishing industry, so she might well be publishing her books before too long. Can we talk about deals and things?
I would like to go into editing, but hearing you mention about self-publishing, my grandma actually has self-published a book, and she's currently trying to get physical copies made and that sort of thing after years of trying to get it published.
Yeah.
And she's part of, like, a little writing group, and they all help each other with the technological side of things because she's not very good with computers. But she has had a lot of success with using sort of an online formatting thing. And it's a very good book, actually. I've been reading it recently.
Share with us, because it's got, I mean, your grandmother, presumably the German grandmother?
No, my other
grandmother. Not the German grandmother.
No.
Oh,
my. Yeah. My dad's mum, Valmar Gerrison, she's written a book called Finding Daisy, which is available from all the usual sources.
Shameless plug, and quite rightly so as well.
Yes.
Yeah, so good. That's what Inspired and Air is all about, Jenny. Yeah, that's a sort of opportunity to actually promote the whole sort of sequence. Jenny, it's been fabulous getting some wonderful words of wisdom for your good self. Any thoughts you wish to share with us as we head into 2016 in terms of, obviously, how to actually cope with the festive joys of, indeed, Tibetan Terriers and more?
If you have Tibetan Terriers, just walk them and love them. And if you don't have Tibetan Terriers, maybe one will come along one day and they'll take your life over. The rest of the time, let's just be kind to each other for a change. That would be nice.
Yeah. Amen. Sage advice.
Precisely. Can say no more.
The nights are colder now. Maybe I should close the door. And anyway, the snow has covered. We'll take notice of one more love that's failed. It's a love that could never be. Oh, it meant a lot to you. We're just another winter's tale.
Nothing to do with Shakespeare, but lyrics by Tim Rice, I believe, David Essex and A Winter's Tale. It's the Inspired On Air final December package for 2015. We should be back in 2016, of course, usually third Wednesday of every month, or Thursday if you're listening to us on a rerun on Thursday evening after 7 o'clock, or you can always download the podcast.
There are just so many ways.
So many ways. You need never be without Inspired On Air.
The wonders of modern technology.
Precisely. So let's consider once again the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre and Peter Pan. I think tickets available for this Peter Pan event. It goes all the way through to Christmas Eve.
Oh,
Christmas
lovely.
Eve, the 24th of December. Strange enough, same time every year, with a wonderful sort of experience there. And you've got matinee performances. Why should people go to see it, Heather?
I'm Claire.
Thank you, Claire.
It's okay.
It's all exactly good. So.
It's Claire. The end of term.
I know.
You should go see it because it's really magical. It's an extremely, extremely talented cast, and it will really, really get you into the wintry, Christmassy spirit, feeling all warm and happy, and you'll just, it's just lovely.
So there we have it. So take the family.
Definitely. Now, am I making this up, or did they take a little trip to the Lincoln ice rink before
it
melted?
Yes, and
I shared
the photograph.
Re-iced. Yes, they did.
Yeah. It was such a hot show, the ice never came back again.
The ice melted.
That's the whole thing. That's how wonderful they
you
actually are.
You couldn't make that up, could you?
And no. You can even, if you take Bridget along, you can even have photographs with the cast after the show.
Yeah. Lovely.
It's not to appreciate. It's just fantastic. This has been Inspired On Air. Thanks to Claire Margerison and to Sue Royce and to Ray Piper for the Chantry Dance Company and to Jenny Finch and to you, dear listener, for being with us. Have a great season's festival time. We're wrapping up with the winner of, in fact, the Midweek Drives, the festive tune of the period. Santa's Coming Round This Time Next Week by Glenn Hodges. And, of course, it's engaged with the big issue, so it's a good cause as well. So great stuff there. We always like to finish off with those two classic words, be inspired. So a one, a two, a three.
Be inspired!
Santa Claus, not only for the younger boys and girls, looking for a melody filled with magic of the world.